One thing that impressed me this afternoon was that nearly every presentation referred in one way or another to the history of the Theosophical movement. And with all due respect to the various full histories and partial histories that have been published by the various organizations represented here, and also more recently the non-theosophical history by Bruce Campbell, which for all of its, some of its good points, is a very, very shallow history indeed. It struck me that if we are going to know what this movement is all about, we really do need a complete and objective history. Now, I think it's going to come about sooner or later, and possibly later through universities, through the academic interest, which is rapidly growing regarding the Theosophical movement. But should we not be looking at this ourselves? Should we perhaps be in our individual organizations looking at the history? Or should we as a Theosophical movement be looking at a history and work cooperatively together to produce one?
That's a fine thought. I'd like to ask a question, though. Do you think it's possible to write a history? There's so much that is not possible to say. Just try to write a history of HPB yourself, with all of her contradictions and all of the things that she did. How many times did what she do spring from herself or from her teachers, who cared not how her social standing might be interfered with by what she might say or do? I think that the movement is like an iceberg. You can see just the top part, and all the rest of it is under the water, and you'll just never be able to tell the story.
I completely agree. Nobody comes to pass judgment as a biographer on HPB, and those who try are fools and fakes.
I like fools. I like thinkers, too.
Well, I came up through the art world in my early, unregenerate days, and I have always been impressed, but no two people ever see the same thing the same way. You only have to walk into a portrait class and see 100 artists drawing the same model, painting it, and see 100 different versions. It's unbelievable. This is where we really are. And when you come to writing a history or setting down an orthodoxy, to me, that's impossible. Because the minute you start nailing things down, you see, you're saying that everything has to be this way. And you know we can't do that. Because we're in groups now, is because different individuals said, no, you can't do it that way. And that's all the way, that's the way it'll always be, where we are trying to nail things down. I think that what we want to do is to be fluid and to see a general great direction and speak of it inspiringly. Because the world is hungry for inspiration. Inspiration leads to deeper understanding and intuitive awakening. And it is this that we want to encourage in the direction of universal brotherhood. I would like to say, ask a question. Now, I know that I have read and even heard here today that there is a right and a wrong way to teach the principles of theosophy. There's the danger of going off in the wrong direction. That may be so, but I think we want to be careful about saying, what is the wrong direction? What is the right direction? Only you, the individual, and the Lord Buddha was a Hindu, a great Brahmin Hindu, believer, and he broke through. There's point into liberation. And liberation is completely through with this human situation. Now that liberation was not agreed to by the Brahmins. And he was an outcast in India. And so his Buddhism spread other in other eastward directions. This is the problem all down through the ages. There will always be revolutionists, there will always be radical minds that say, I'm going this way. You can follow or not.
However, I think Edmund brought up a very fine point. The public is going to do it. The question is, should we do it and give it some dignity, or let them do it and rip it to pieces? Now, this is really quite a point to consider.
Can we do it so very much better?
I don't know.
They don't need to.
They will fall.
I'm a great believer in humanity. They might rip it at first, but they come back to center. They come back to equilibrium. And I think the reason why the universe is going the way it is, I think it's on the right track, is because he who is organizing or has set the whole thing in motion is learning how to do it.
I don't understand that.
A.P.G. said, do not follow me on my path. Follow the path I show, which defines our project. Not to write biographies of A.P.G., but to repeat her philosophy as accurately and originally as we can.
But she also said, no orthodoxy. And orthodoxies are the invention of human minds. And while philosophy itself goes on beyond all of this, you can't contain it, you can't box it. There is a general body of knowledge that if you're smart and sensible, you'll try to follow it in your life. That's the theosophy you have learned. Each one of us has learned in a different way. So we are open to correction by our fellows, and this is what brotherhood, the universal brotherhood, is all about. We're correcting each other all the time. You get married, stay married as I have for 59 years, and I'm telling you, that fact will be impressed on you.
There's a sign on the college, which is near where we live, and this is on the Point Loma grounds. It's called the Point Loma Nazarene College. But on the outside one of their buildings, this sign, unsettle their minds, inflame their intelligence. I don't know quite the difference between mind and intelligence, but anyhow, that's Dr. Hutchins' statement, isn't that right?
That's good.
Unsettle their minds. Well, I think we already have unsettled minds here, which is good. Inflame their intuitions, maybe we should say. Inflame the spiritual side of their mind.
Inspire them.
Yes, inspire them. And yeah. That is, of course, what teachings of theosophy do if we really bore in deep and deep and deeper into them. Take the simplest teachings of all. You take karma. HPB says it is the ultimate law. The ultimate law. What do we know about that ultimate law? Oh yes, we say we set our feet, we feel the resistance. Physically we can say, we recognize it. As soon as we say it in the mind, we say, oh no. We won't accept the fact that I think a thought and that thought has a karmic responsibility. And I think if any one of the teachings of theosophy, any single one, and in them if we pursue right to the core of them, we'll find all the other teachers. That's just one idea for them.
Very good. How do you pursue?
Study what people call meditation, which is merely holding in the back of your mind, perhaps, the thought, making it a lifetime study, and it'll come. There come times when you don't have to be told this is the truth. You know. It may not come quickly to some. It may come slowly and gradually. To others, it may come like a sudden flash, as I said earlier, an awakening. Something happens. Or maybe it was in one of the circles we had here. It was very successful, Jerry. There was a number 10 circle. We had a wonderful time. And they all, it's pretty hard to hear them, but they all, I think, said something which was very helpful. And each one, as we found out, spoke for her own viewpoint and added something to what came out of that, which was a little better view of the truth. And as someone said also, from the shock of ideas springs forth the light. That was a French philosopher, I think. Le choc des idées jaillit la lumière, you know. Springs forth the light.
I'm sure Emmett included this in what his words. But actually, truth can be approached through the heart.
What is the heart?
By living the life. And I think that one who lives the life and studies as much as he feels necessary, that truth will come in its own way and in its own time. And mostly it steals in quietly and unnoticed what you know.
And unannounced.
Yes.
Well, on the question of being inspiring, do you think of anything quite as embarrassing? And somebody who says, you go and smile.
No.
The point is that you can only inspire if you forget yourself and are so intently interested in the wonder of the discovery which is yours or someone else's that you are uplifted by that, and that's infectious. But you mustn't think about inspiring people because that's egotistical to think that you could. Wouldn't it have to be referred to in the Western world as the most inspiring writers of the 19th century? Dostoevsky and Tolstoy. And then she went on to say, that's what we need. A dozen Dostoevskys. Then she said, but philosophical students are not geniuses. That's in the title way. It's a fundamental article. One that should be read again every year. She said, but each one can do according to his lights. He can write letters to the paper. He can do this, he can do that. In his own modest way, essays. And he said, what we need is literature. Not necessarily philosophical literature, but literature which expresses moral insight. Every time in history, when this is needed, it is right now.